Blog Talk Radio.
I notice we have a 403 on the line with you.
you like to make a comment? This is Suzanne. Okay, well, anyhow, we are going to continue. I have hope that we get some participants during this evening. Before we get started, I'd like to have prayer. Before we get started. Boy, when this technology messes up, it can really, really mess up. We do thank you for tuning in once again to New Beginnings Ministries. This evening, once again, we are continuing part two of spiritual warfare. For those of you listening in, we would like to add that you can call in 347-237-4054 and tune in, hit number one, and you will be able to make a comment as we go through our scriptures. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to go into our discussion, or continue our discussion with spiritual warfare. Amen. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We just give you the praise. We thank you for your goodness, your glory, and your mercy. Father, we thank you for just being able to share your word, Heavenly Father, which is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We give you all the praise and the glory. Father, we know that with you we can do all things, and without you we can do nothing. And we ask as we go through this study, Father, that you would just bless the words of our mouth, our thoughts, and we pray, Heavenly Father, we would be a blessing to each other as we share the word of God. We just give you the honor, glory, and the praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 Okay, again, we are here and we are going through our scripture, and the first scripture, we're going to take it back a little bit on our scripture, and we're going to start off with Ephesians 11 through 18. Ephesians 11 through 18, as we talk about spiritual warfare, and I'm sure that each and every one of you have had some type of warfare going on in your life. So we're going to go into the Word and see what God says about spiritual warfare. Ephesians 6:11 through 6:18. And the word says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. 13, therefore unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Amen. Therefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. In 6:14 it says, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. In 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 17 it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is in the word of God. At 6:18, finishes with praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thus with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. In verse 14.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad that I can hear you. Praise the Lord. For 6:11, And please just tune in whenever you have a comment. Just tune in, and I will take a bow, and so we can continue with this word. It says, put on the whole armor that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. In Ephesians, it's saying, it's asking us to make sure that we do not go out into battle without our armor. Amen? That's
Amen.
Like going to war, and you have bullets coming at you, but yet you are not prepared to fight back.
Mm-hmm. Like going to school without books, pencil, or paper.
Ooh.
You know, not preparing.
Wow.
Going to the grocery store without money. You know?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
6:13, therefore, it continues, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand, not giving up. So when the battle began, and things began to start to happen to you or me, it's saying, it says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor. Don't take part of your armor. Do not take part of your armor, what you have, part of your body showing. It says, take unto you the whole armor of God. Amen? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. After you have done all that you can do, everything that has come at you from all different directions, and you have done all that you can do to stand against all these things that's coming at you, it says in 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen? Prepare yourself for combat, having your loins girt with truth. Amen? Taking the whole armor. Go ahead.
My version, and I'm reading it off of my phone, my smartphone. It says, so put on God's armor now, and then when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attack, and after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. And it made that to me, this is a reminder that this is a supernatural fight. So when you come to the end of yourself, the end of where you should have lost, where you should have given up, or where it looks like all is lost or looks like all is doomed, that you can go beyond that. So the Lord is telling us that this is a supernatural battle, that all you have to do is understand that you are in a battle, and that you have to put on the full armor. And beyond that, he's got our back, that it is a supernatural battle, that it's not about our strength, it's about the Lord's strength. It's not about our vision and what we see or feel, but it's about what the Lord knows and what the Lord does and what the Lord will do.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. And God is just giving us, he's just giving us, telling us how we are to go out in battle, that we do not go out unprepared. We do not go out unprepared. And what does it mean that we are to not go out prepared? That means that we are to go out with our armor on. Our armor on, that we are prepared. We are prepared. We are prepared. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the truth of God. And let it be known consciously, if we have to believe that. We have to believe that. We have to believe that no man can enter spiritual warfare with an advantage actually know Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth. Christ is the truth of God. And when we know God, when we know the truth, then we can go forward with confidence, knowing that nothing can harm us. The preparation of the gospel in 15, it says the preparation of the gospel. The preparation of the gospel is, that means that we are ready. We are ready and we are walking in the way that the gospel has told us to walk. The gospel has informed us how we are to perform, how we are to walk. And that means preparation. That means that we are ready and we are walking in the way that has been prescribed by the gospel, which has been prescribed by the gospel, prescribed by God, prescribed by definition and how we are to walk. Amen? The gospel gives us a conscious belief of how we are to walk. It's a belief that we have. It's a faith that we have. And when we know God, when we have that knowledge of who God is in our lives, and we know the Word of God, we know the truth, we can walk and we can share the gospel with others. And God says that no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. God has given us a promise. He has given us a promise. Amen? He has given us a promise. So we are to walk by faith, knowing that we have the full armor. We are walking by faith. That is that's very important in our Christian virtues, that we are to walk by faith. Whatever comes against us, whatever is happening in our lives, we are standing by faith, knowing that God is with us, knowing that God is going to protect us. It does not make a difference what it is that's coming against us. Again, I repeat to you, my brothers and sisters, the word says that no weapons that are formed against us shall prosper. So when we know that whatever is coming against us is not going to take us out, it's going to mess with it because it's coming at us, but it's not going to take us out because God has already He has already given us that armor when we're going out of protection. When I get into this and I talk about a few things, we look at, and when we talk about it, I discussed it the last Wednesday, and we talked about the shield. The shield, that is what protects us. The shield is what protects us. It defends. That's how someone goes to war, that shield, think about the armor or the shield in the older days. That shield was their protection. That shield is what helps him defend himself. That is the protection. And that shield is covered and it protects. It protects. It's a protection of armor. So that the way that shield protects that soldier when that soldier is out to battle, and anything that's shooting at coming at that those fiery darts is coming at that soldier can turn at different directions, and that shield will ward it off. Well, my brothers and sisters, that is the same way that our faith is. The faith has that. Our faith is a similar importance in our Christian walk. It is the same way. When we go out protected, knowing who God is, knowing who God is, knowing the gospel, knowing that God says that he will protect us. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. Knowing that God will protect us, we can walk by faith and not by sight. We don't have to be afraid of what's coming at us because God has got our back. Amen? Or got our front as we look at this. We look at the shield. Think about it. Now, when I made a comment in terms of the shield in the latter days, the shield, that was a surface, and the shield was like rounded. It was at the center to the edge, and it was polished smooth, or it was anointed with oil. The shield was anointed with oil. So when those arrows or darts, when they hit that shield, it would glance off, or it would rebound off the shield. It would not stick. It would not stick. The oil on the shield helped the soldier so that he was able to glance off that shield. Now, our faith, the more that we occupy our time with Jesus Christ, the more that we occupy our time and have that relationship with Jesus Christ, then we begin to start to understand that shield on the parts of our body. As the soldier knew that armor when he was out to battle, we begin to start to know, we understand that shield that God has given us, that protection of knowing that something is always going to be attacking us, but we have to be ready. We have to be prepared, amen, to defend ourselves. As we continue on, and I don't want to get too much into this because we did talk about it. We discussed it last week in length. And if you want to check more, you can archive. You can archive and pull it up, and you can hear exactly what was discussed then. So I don't want to get too deep into that. But the final part that I want to discuss, it says praying always in verse 18. Praying always. Praying always. That means that we are to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. Now, in my notes, it says this, it would be well for the soldier who goes forth in the battle to pray for victory, or to pray that he may be prepared for death should he fall. But soldiers do not feel the necessity of this. Now, to the Christian soldier, hallelujah, to the Christian soldier, however, it is indispensable. Prayer crowns all lawful efforts with success and gives a victory when nothing else would. Amen. Amen. Prayer crowns us. Prayer is that complete, it is how to complete the armor, no matter how skilled that we may be in war, no matter how skilled or courageous that we may be, prayer is what helps us become victorious. Praying in season as well as out of season. Now, what does that mean, in season and out of season? Well, to me, praying in season and out of season is when I wake up in the morning, I'm praying, and I'm thanking God. In the afternoon, I'm praying, and I am thanking God. In the evening, the same thing. So what am I saying to you, my brothers and sisters? I'm saying that here it is saying that whatever throughout the day, wherever we are, that we are constantly praying. Praying always. Amen? Praying always. Praying always that we will be protected from any type of temptation or any type of spiritual conflict. We are to always pray. And if you want to look further in that, you can look at Luke 18:1, and that will give you more definition, information on what I'm referring to in terms of praying always. That's Luke 18:1. Moving on to 2 Kings 15. And when the servant of man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an army compassed the city with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, what shall we do? 16. And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray you open his eyes that he may see the Lord, that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around Elisha. Now, what I'm seeing, or how I interpret that, my brothers and sisters, is that the chariots, they were already there. The chariots, the horses, they were already there. But the problem is that he could not see it. The only one who saw it was Elijah. And he prayed that he would open his eyes. See, the servant was there, and he looked, and all he saw was what was in front of him. All the servant saw was the multitude of the army that was in front of him, and Elisha. And in his mind, all he knew was that it was just a few of them, and it was more of the other. It was more of what he saw. And Elijah said, God opened his eyes so that he can know that there are more of us. When it says, Lord opened his eyes, but the young man saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire around about Elijah. Elijah had him, it was already there. And that happens with us, brothers and sisters. Sometimes when we are going through a difficult time, it appears like it's great. It appears like it is bigger or greater than we can handle. So let's put ourselves in the eyes of the servant. We're looking at the mammoth, or this mammoth obstacle, conflict, or whatever we're going through. We're looking at that like it's humongous, it's huge, it's going to overtake us. But when our eyes are open, knowing who God is, we will know that what we have around us is greater than what's coming against us. Amen? When we have our eyes open, knowing that God is great, and when God says he's going to do something, he does it. He does it without a shadow of a doubt. So when we're coming up against this mountain, God just says, mountain, be removed, and cast it into the sea. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen? Greater. So when our eyes are open, it doesn't make a difference what's coming against us. It does not make a difference. That's why it says that we are victorious. We are victorious. And whenever we're coming against anything, we can just think about what happened to that servant and Elijah and open our eyes, and the mountain will be full of horses and chariots of fire. Amen. To protect little old me, little old you. Now, Elijah was a prophet, but Elisha was also, he was a man at that time, no different than that servant. He was a man that had the same temptations as that servant. But the difference between that servant and Elijah was Elijah, when his eyes were opened, all he saw was the greatness of God. He saw the greatness of God. He didn't see what was in front of him. It didn't make a difference how much the enemy had. How many were there? It did not make that difference. All he knew was that greater is he that is in, amen, me than he that is in the world. That means it does not make a difference what the obstacle is, that we are victorious. We're going to overcome. Whatever we are going through, we are going to overcome that. That's why I love this Bible study. And even though that I'm going through the study, it's a blessing that as we communicate to those of you from out of state, you know, that call in, those of you that in state, it is just a blessing just to through the airwaves. You know, I look, you know, for this evening, you know, Sister Suzanne is calling from the hospital. She's been in the hospital, but she calls in. Obviously, she had to get off the phone at this time. She's having some checkups. So we, you know, want to pray for her as she spends another day there for observation. But even at the hospital, just tuning in to Bible study. And, you know, God, I believe God smiles upon us when we come together. As brothers and sisters, when we come together and discuss the Word of God, I'm not talking about where the nearest sale is, but I'm talking about discussing the Word of God. And I thank you for tuning in and sharing and being a part of this time, because God wants us. It says, united we stand. United we stand, my brothers and sisters, when we come together in the Word of God, because we all are in a spiritual warfare. This is a battle for each and every one of us. And we got to encourage each one of us to get through it, to make it through it. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so again, you know, that was in 2 Kings 6:17 when we look at that. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen? That piece, that's a powerful piece there alone. Trust in the Lord, not with part of your heart, but with all of your heart. With all of your heart. And then it goes on further to say, lean not on unto your own understanding. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't try to understand it yourself. Lean not unto your own understanding. Our way of thinking is not God's way of thinking. Amen? Let me say that again. Our way of thinking is not God's way of thinking. As long as we trust in God and don't worry about the circumstances, as my pastor says, it always works out. Amen? And that's a powerful piece of knowing that it always works out. Hallelujah. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him. In all your ways, when your ways are good, when your ways are bad, when you're feeling up, when you're feeling down, whatever you are going through, acknowledge him. Who is him? I'm talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Acknowledging God in all that we do, all that we say, wherever we go, whatever we do, amen, acknowledging him. In every situation, acknowledging him. Amen? That is an important precept that we have to always remember. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. See, God is the fountain of all good. Amen? He has made his intelligent creatures to depend on him. The birds, they don't worry about anything. God always provides for them. All the creatures that they're always provided for, they don't worry about anything. God has already provided whatever they need. And see, God also requires them to be conscious of that dependence. To be conscious of that dependence. Being conscious of who we depend on. And he has promised to communicate what they need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even the birds know where their next food is coming from. Hallelujah. And he commands them to believe his promises, and he looks for its fulfillment. Amen? And that's just a piece right there. He commands us to believe his promises. And not only to believe it, here's the other part, that we are supposed to be looking for the victory. We are supposed to be looking for that fulfillment. We don't just believe in the promises, but we also look for the end. Whatever, when it's all over, it's going to be in our favor. Hallelujah. Isn't it good just knowing that? That when it's all, whatever we're going through, you know, that I think about this, is the storm does not last always. We may be going through a storm temporarily, but eventually we come out of that storm. So when we're going through the storm, we are acknowledging God. When we come out of that storm, we are acknowledging God. Hallelujah. And we are to do it without doubt, fear, or distrust. We are to do it with no doubt. We are to do it without fear. Fear is a sin, my brothers and sisters. We are not supposed to fear anything but God. And we don't distrust. You know how we get into the worldly things that we go through, and all of a sudden, something might be to this, you know, that might not be right. We don't do it with doubt, fear, or distrust. But what we do it with our whole heart. And when we do it with our whole heart, we are acknowledging God. Amen? When we do it with our whole heart, we're leaning not unto our own understanding. We're not trying to understand it. All we know is it's going to work out. Amen? In those days, we are in Acts 6:1, and in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring in the Hellenists against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, pick out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. That was Acts 6, 1 through 4. Excuse me. Acts 6, 1 through 4. Amen. Now, in verse 1, as we go through this, in verse 1, the way that my notes has it is that there were two classes of Jews. Those who remained in the Palestine who used the Hebrew language and who were appropriately called Hebrews. So there were two classes of Jews in the Palestine. Those who used the Hebrew language and who were appropriately called Hebrews. And then there were those who scattered among the Gentiles who spoke the Greek language and who also used it, used their synagogue. Amen? And in verse 2 it says within the 12, looking at that. That's when it says, then the 12, that is the apostles. Amen? And during this time, Matthias had been added to them after the apostasy of Judas. After Judas, then it was Matthias. It says, the multitudes of the disciples. It is not necessary to suppose that all disciples were convened with the amount to many thousands, but that the business was laid before a large number. The business was put before the masses, and perhaps here had probably meant those who were interested in whatever was going on or whoever engaged in that complaint at that particular time. And when we use here, it says after the apostasy of Judas, that word apostasy, breaking that down, that means someone who has abandoned something. The apostasy is someone who has abandoned something, or it's a renunciation of a religion by a person. Someone who has renunciated their religion. Whatever they believed in at that particular time, they just chose differently. They chose not to believe in it. And that's what Judas did. When Judas, of course, we all know Judas, you know, he sold, he received money to sell out Jesus at that time. And he was one of the 12 disciples. In Ezekiel 22:30. Ezekiel 22:30. And I do want to give you a minute to be able to tune in. And while you're looking for it, I want to remind you that if you would like to call in, we are New Beginning Ministries. We have a Bible study every Wednesday. And we come on at 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and we just discuss the Word of God. We open our airways to anyone who would like to make a comment. Oftentimes we have other ministers from out of state, within the state, that come on, and they will host a show. So we're just trying to include everybody. Anybody that knows the Word of God, we invite to host on the show so that we can get a perspective of what others are studying or what others have learned in their walk or with their walk with Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's the beauty of it. That is the beauty of it. So if you have a comment while you're on, you hit the number one, and a red microphone will come on my monitor, and it will let me know that you have something to say. We do have a few people on right now. I do not see the light on, so I'm assuming that you're just listening. So we do thank you for listening. And again, we do invite you, if you choose to want to expound on something that we are discussing, please do. We invite each and everyone. This is for everyone, not just for you, but it's for everyone. And we just pray that God bless us as we continue to move forward. Okay, we just discussed the 12, and now we're looking at, we talked about, and I sought out a man among them, and built, I sought out a man among them, that sought, that should build up a wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should build up a wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. In verse 30, I sought for a man. I sought. The word saw is I saw. I saw. There was a grievous breach made in the moral state and the feeling of people. I sought for a man. Again, let me read the scripture. I sought for a man among them that should build up a wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. Was I, I'm talking about God, that I should not destroy this, I should not destroy it. But I found none. And what God was saying, looking at it, I saw that there was, in the moral attitudes and the feelings of the people at that time, that no one would stand in the gap. No one would stand in the gap. No one would faithfully exhort, reprove, or counsel with the doctrines of Jesus Christ. No one would stand up and exhort the Word of God. He could not find anyone. And there was judgment. That was the judgment. Looking for one man that would stand up in the gap, would stand in the gap, exhorting, preaching the gospel, who had not turned their attitude, their moral state, or their feeling toward the people. Amen. So that means indirectly that there was just sin. There was sin. There was just sin. In Isaiah 5:1, it says, "Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill." A very fruitful hill. I don't know what's the title of my pronunciation. "The chapter likewise stands single and alone." Okay, so the subject is nearly in the first chapter. It's about the Jews for their wickedness. The Jews for their wickedness. And there was a severity from it. Amen? There was a severity from it. In verse 1, the chapter likewise stands a single Again, it adds, like I said, it adds, like, expresses almost like a declaration. When you're singing, it's just expressing almost like a declaration for that in Isaiah. Now I will sing my well-beloved, a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. That singing, when you're singing, that, you know, you are excited about what is happening at that particular time. We're moving on to Psalms 5:1 through 3. Psalms 5:1 through 3. And the word says, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto you will I pray. My voice you'll hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto you, and I will look up and will look up." Amen. Amen. Psalms is the book of Psalms. You know, that was old. The book of Psalms, or, you know, the Psalms of David at that particular time. And in verse 2, it says, "Hearken unto the voice of my cry. Hearken. Hearken unto the voice of my cry." Listen unto the voice. Hear me. Hear my voice. Hear my cry. Hear my cry. When someone is crying out, can we often hear the cry from that person? That person is in need, that person is hurting. Are we listening for that person, the cry? Are they happy? Are they crying? Are they hurt? Are they going through some type of challenge? Listening to someone's voice. Listening attentively to a person. When we listen carefully, God will open up our ears and allow us to hear what's going on with that person. Or oftentimes, or sometimes, God sends people our way so that we can cheer them up. Amen? Sometimes we can just cheer them up on your job. People are complaining about their job, complaining about how things are, the conditions of work. And we are to cheer them up. Come in to work and they're hurting because of something that happens before they arrive to work. We can hear it in their voice, and we should be listening to the heart of the people. Listening to the heart of the people. Listen as the heart speaks to our heart, so we can comfort one another. Amen? And in here, it says, in verse 5:3, it says, "My voice you should hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto you." And that just sounds as though, we talked about before, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, thanking God at all times. O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto you." Praying in the morning and thanking God when we wake up, at noon and at night, all through the day. We talked about earlier about praying without ceasing. Praying without giving up. Praying always unto God. And here it says it almost again. Amen? Meditating on God's goodness day and night. So we're always in our happy state. Amen. Even though that we are being pursued in this spiritual warfare by our enemies, only God can keep us safe. Only God can preserve us by his almighty hand. Amen. Only God, no one else. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus Christ. No name. So we're meditating on God day and night. Amen. We're going to end on this note here. And we do thank you for tuning in. Remember, God loves you most. We love you, but God loves you most. God bless you until next Wednesday. We did have our computer went out on us, so we do apologize for that. But that was the end of this evening. Until next Wednesday, God bless you.